Well, listen, as these great pastors have a seat, I'll explain a little bit more about what they do, but I just want to share just a couple thoughts with you. You know, my wife had mentioned about really the things that are going on with city pastors, but there's many more things going on in the city, and so much of where we're at today is because of the great moms and dads in the faith that have gone before us. You know, we think about the Pastor Glenn Coles, and we think about the pastor, you know, Dr. Williams, and of course, Henry Wells, and just to mention a couple, and some have gone home to be with the Lord, but we're just grateful for all the intercessors and the prayer warriors that are praying their guts out in closets and behind doors many years to see what's happening. But we know that we're just tapping the beginning of what God's going to continue to do in our city. So we're just so grateful. And I remember when I think Francis and I were at a little small group of pastor meeting, and one of the pastors said something very profound, but it changed my life forever. And it was Pastor Sherwood Carthen when he said, "You know what? I'm always going where you're at. You need to come where I'm at." And when he said that, it just changed everything for me. It changed my schedule. It changed how I pastored. It changed everything, because we underestimate the fact that when we show up places with other brothers and sisters and across denominational lines and cultures and those different things, it says a lot. You know, your presence is rich. How many of you have a little challenge when none of your leaders show up on a Sunday? How does that make you feel? We understand the presence is a big deal, but it changed my life. And because of that, I remember just many breakfasts, coffees, lunches, dinners with different pastors. I remember going to one event, it was an ordination, and when I showed up there, the pastor leaned over to me and says, "Man, we're going to have church tonight." And when he said that, 4 hours later, I knew we were having church tonight. But the thing that I realized, too, is just being a part of so many people's lives and building relationships and friendships, man, it shaped my life, it shaped my wife's life, it changed our church, everything changed for us. But we realize the diversity of culture, the different denominations, all the different life-giving streams. I mean, it's celebrating what God is doing, and we need to celebrate that. Sometimes we need to show up. As pastors, we can't be at everything all the time. I totally get it, but we can be at something, or we can reach out and just give a prayer or a text or encouragement to somebody, because, man, we're in this together, and we keep coming together. The enemy is not going to divide us. We're going to let the world that throws everything at us, we're not going to let it stick. Amen? We're going to keep coming together, believing the best in one another and praying for one another. So, you know, through those times, I think the greatest things is when you sit across the table from somebody is you hear their story. You hear how God has blessed them, touch them, and their testimonies are off the chart. And I remember going into many of them and just hearing their testimony, and I was discouraged going into that. But once I left and hearing about everything that they're going through, I didn't really feel so bad. I said, "Don, you got nothing." But the times that when you hear those testimonies, they inspire you, they encourage you, they bring you hope. And I felt like as we come to this 15-year mark, I felt like it would be very important. And I ask these four pastors behind us to share a very specific thing about their life. And I've asked each, some of them will be similar, but I asked them to come up and share these things. And I'm just grateful for them. And I want to just introduce them real quick. And I want to remember all the years of their being married and stuff. Our first one up is Pastor Tamara Bennett. She's an amazing woman of God that I've known for the past 6 years. She's been, married for 18 years, in pastoring for 21 years, and she still looks like she's 29. That's incredible. But I'm just blessed. She's a part of the City Pastors Executive Team now, and I'm just we're just blessed by our friendship over the years, and we're excited about what you're going to share. Pastor Abe Daniel, he came here 9 years ago just blazing a trail for Jesus. You know, the thing that I appreciate about Abe is he is a part of the denomination, and he's a very strategic guy in that denomination, but he always has time for everybody. And many pastors, and I've sent people his way, and he never says no. He's one of those guys that's wise beyond his years and experienced so many different things, but he has been a blessing to me and a blessing to so many pastors, and we're looking forward to hearing your story. The amazing Godot, I've known him for 15 years now. I love him. I love his family. We do stuff with his family. They're just full of life and just always have touched our heart and ministered to us, and he's always praying for us. And the pillar, and the, you know, he's only begun to touch what I can only, his resume is too long to even mention, of the things that he's done and the many things, not just in the Sacramento region, but across the world. And so we're grateful for him and his willingness to come and share his testimony. And we thank you for that, Dr. Goh. Pastor Andre Chapoval, he's been in ministry for 12 years. He's only pastored for a couple. That's why he looks so young and vibrant and full of vitality. But he's an amazing man of God that God is doing incredible things with, not just here, but really across the world. And we're just looking forward to hearing from him and sharing. And so, as I said, these people are not just touching Sacramento. They're touching the world. And we're just grateful to have you guys share. So we're looking forward to it. And we're going to give it ear to hear. And I'll let Pastor Tamara start. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, praise God. I'm grateful to, I'm always so happy to come to City Pastors because this is what it's all about. And I get so grateful to be with all of my brothers and sisters and all of my brothers here. A special shout out to Don and Krista again, seriously, because amazing men and women of God that have really just have kept this going. They both are very sincere in their efforts, and you feel that, and it's genuine. We all have a story. I don't even know where to start, but we all have a story. I'm a native Detroiter, and I guess I'm going to try to make it quickly. I'm a native Detroiter. I came from old school Pentecostal upbringing. But I did my thing. I had my days of craziness that I had to find Jesus for myself. It was before the days that cannabis was legal, and I'll leave that alone. And then I came to Jesus. See, y'all gonna be deep on me. Don't be deep, because I ain't gonna be able to tell my story. And then found Jesus, and when he found me and I accepted it and gave my life to Christ, I still get grateful, and it's like in the back door of my mind, because he literally delivered me from so many things. He put me under an old school mother in the gospel, if you would. We traveled all over the United States. She was very strict, and she was very loving. She was what I needed for what I was coming out of. But from that, my father, who was a pastor, a phenomenal, phenomenal teacher in Detroit, he's gone on to be with the Lord. But then from there, I married, and my first husband at the time is what moved us to California, from Detroit via Texas and then here. Very, very powerful man of God, huge evangelical ministry. We traveled all over, and it was before the days that you had honorariums and contracts. We was, you know, renting cars and driving and everywhere. But nevertheless, in motels, not five stars. But anywho, doing a work for Jesus. And we did that, and we were married for 13 years. We settled here. The Lord blessed us with the building that we are currently in right now. And then unexpectedly, out of nowhere, in 1999, he was hit with an incurable disease. Rocked our world. You know, at that stage in ministry, you know, you feel like you're so anointed and you're so untouchable that you can rebuke everything, plead the blood of Jesus over everything, quote, declare it. But still, trouble was in our home. This wasn't a disease that was very popular at the time. It was in the late 90s. You definitely didn't talk about it, and you for sure didn't talk about it amongst church people, because we're all so spiritual and so deep, and everybody is John the Baptist's cousin is what I like to say, so nobody has issues. So if I had to be very candid, it was a New Year's Eve service, and he had this uncontrollable cough. He had been coughing for a while, and we just thought it was because we were traveling, and he picked up a bug from somewhere, but it got bad to the extent that it knocked him off of the couch. And I was like, that's it. We're going to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and the doctor comes in an emergency, and he throws these x-rays up, and he says, so it was AIDS. And he looked at him, and he said, okay, so how did you get this? Are you, you know, drug user or whatever? So I'm sitting back in the chair in the hospital with my legs crossed, like, yeah, no, that's not the right report. And so the doctor's like, he said, no, you know, you said our names. And I was like, yeah, no, that's not right. So he goes back, the doctor, he comes back, pops them up there again. He looks at his tag, and he says, yeah, this is it. You know, you have AIDS. And He said, this is what it is. And so how did you contract it? I'm looking at, you know, my husband that I had been married to for 13 years and that we've traveled all over the world in this beautiful marriage. And I'm looking at him, said, you know, like, tell him this is not right. But he didn't say anything. And so the doctor looked and he said, you know what, I'm going to give you all a minute. So he said one thing to me, and I'm really transparent, and I'm out here now. All of you know all my business now. And he looked at me, and he said, honey, I can promise you, he said, that I never had an affair on you. He said, this was something before you. What the heck? What are you talking about? I run into the bathroom at the hospital. I grabbed all the paper towel I could in that bathroom in the hospital, and I screamed to the top of my lungs. Because this could not be happening. Not us. Not us. We're anointed. You know, God uses us. Not us. So I'm on my knees in the hospital bathroom. And the Holy Spirit said one thing. He said, cover. I go back in the hospital room, and we're going to make this story very short. For a year, I never told our congregation. He continued to travel and minister until he couldn't. And then dementia started coming in where he got up one Sunday morning and he looked at me, he said, what's today? And I said, it's Sunday, we're getting ready for church. And so, you know, I started getting dressed and he was still in bed. He looked at me again. He said, what's today? I said, honey, it's Sunday, get up, we got to get ready for church. Then he said it the third time. But this time he had an awkward look in his eyes and I knew he literally didn't know the day. And I said, it's okay. I said, we're just going to stay home today. I said, you stay home and rest. I ministered, came back. And that was the beginning of the decline of his health. Again, a very long story short, for a year, I told no one but one member of our church, a young lady that is still with us today. And we worked it. And I bathed him, and I showered him, and I shaved him, and we went to doctors together, and I learned how to give him shots, and they kept saying to me, you know, all these pills, and he said, no. He said, either God's going to heal me, or I'm going to go home. Because it was during that time that there's 30 and 40 pills. Making this story shorter, he passed away June 15th, 2000. And I had to tell our congregation, by then we had gotten the building that we're in right now, 20,000 square foot building, $7,000 a month note, and people from the street. Our church is still predominantly people from the street. So, you know, you got to teach them everything. That's the good thing. But you got to teach them everything. That's the bad thing. So they knew nothing, and we're trying to make it work. And so I'm trying to be strong for them because they don't get it, losing their pastor. And so I'm in the dining hall at the church, and I'm walking around because in my mind I'm saying to God, we're going to have a conversation because this should not have happened to me. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed me on the floor of our dining hall, and he said, humble yourself. I am never wrong. I will be your shepherd, and we will build this church. 21 years later, and the Lord have built our church and our house, and he's been our shepherd, he's been our pastor, and if I say this, and I'm going to turn it over to my brother, I, being raised in a tradition myself of what women do and what men do in ministry, my own struggle was there until God, even my father, who was still alive at the time, and when he was praying, what's going to happen to the church? And the Lord allowed my father to see the fruit of the church that I was doing everything for a year, and God allowed my father to look at the fruit. And the Lord said to my father, he said, you're doing to her what John did to the elect lady. He said, her children are walking in the truth. He said, so she will pastor this church. That was my release. Time have made me say that when he worketh in you the will and the do of his good pleasure, you don't care about a title. You care about the assignment. And so I'm grateful for what I do. I'm grateful to be in a city that have allowed me and embraced me to do what I do. And I'm grateful for this fellowship and this union, because as we see and we know, the end times are here. At the end of the day, he calls soldiers in his army. So I love you, my brothers and sisters. I turn it over to my brother.
I've had the privilege of watching your video. I believe Brother Francis shared that, and it's powerful. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. My name is Abe Daniel. I serve as a senior.
Can I say how happy I am married now? Just God is fair. I'm blessed. I'm married. I got kids. Go ahead. I'm sorry. The end of the story was better than the beginning. I'm done.
My name is Abe Daniel. I serve as a senior pastor